when the history of rock, blues, jazz, and country music get talked about, women are sometimes, maybe often, left out of the conversation. But a new season of NPR Music's Turning the Tables is giving them back the spotlight by celebrating some of the most influential women in American music history. The series focuses in on a list of 8 women who helped invent American popular music as we know it. Bessie Smith, Maybelle Carter, Billie Holiday, Marian Anderson, Ella Fitzgerald, Celia Cruz, Mary Lou Williams, and Rosetta Tharpe. New features are coming out every Monday through September 23rd. You can find them all as they come out over at npr.org. Ann Powers is a critic and correspondent for NPR Music and a co-founder of the series Turning the Tables. Ann, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You at Turning the Tables have been highlighting female musicians in different ways, women musicians, for a couple of years now. Why this year focusing on the past and these 8 women in particular?
I think it's so important to go back to the beginnings of things and actually to imagine many beginnings, you know, many origin stories. And popular music in America, we often only go back as far as the dawn of rock and roll when we think about it. Or maybe if you're Ken Burns, you go back to the jazz era or the early days of country music. But, you know, we think of certain figures, especially in the rock and roll era. You know, everything changed after Elvis. But I feel like we need to go before that moment because, honestly, the rock and roll era in the 1950s, it was a very boy-oriented, male-oriented moment in music. And going earlier, going back to the early 20th century, we discover the very big mark that women artists made as well.
Before we get into some of the individual musicians you profile, 2 of these have dropped so far, I think. Tell us what we're going to see and read and hear as we dig into these profiles.
Yes, if you seek out Turn the Tables at npr.org, you will find this beautiful interface. You'll see pictures of our great 8, as we call them. You mentioned them all. And then you can click on each name or each picture of a woman as the weeks go by, and you will read a series of essays. You'll see videos. There's audio pieces. There's poetry, memoirs, all kinds of different ways into the stories of these artists. And if it's someone you think you know, like maybe you think you know everything about Billie Holiday, but you will discover things you didn't know. Or this week, for example, with Maybelle Carter, we're going to be publishing an instructional video teaching you how to play guitar like Maybelle Carter with the wonderful young Americana artist Courtney Marie Andrews teaching you the Carter Scratch. So everything from an essay on the person at hand to a video that teaches you how to play like them.
Well, let's start to meet some of the musicians you profile. The first one you highlighted, one of the great blues singers, Bessie Smith. Here's a listen to a bit of her song, I Ain't Gonna Play No Second Fiddle. This is from 1927. Not going to play second fiddle, used to playing lead, whether it's the lyrics or singing style. I think unapologetic is one word that might be used for Bessie Smith. Could you talk about her as a character and a performer?
Absolutely. Listeners might be familiar with Bessie Smith from the recent biopic that Queen Latifah starred in. I think it was on HBO. Bessie Smith is the Empress of the Blues. She was the most popular blues artist in her time in the 20s. She was also a very famous actress, comedian, dancer, vaudeville performer. And her music, her style, her very being intersects with so many important movements of that time. We have essays about how her music relates to the Harlem Renaissance, for example. Also, you know, she's the foundation of the blues that we now associate with people like, like Robert Johnson at the Crossroads, right? Well, sure, Robert Johnson is a great blues artist. I love his music as well. But it was really Bessie Smith and this kind of queens of the blues, these theatrical women who were the more popular and influential artists of that time.
In the essay that is attached to the project about Bessie Smith, there's a trace of the influence she's had over the years on other blues singers, women blues singers in particular. Can you talk about how people keep going back, not just paying tribute, but I think learning from Bessie Smith?
Absolutely. Maureen Mann, who's a professor at NYU and a great writer and scholar, she talks about in her essay about how Bessie is influential on rock singers, on R&B singers, everyone from Janis Joplin to Otis Redding to blues singers like Coco Taylor to Beyonce. You know, all of those artists are very influenced by Bessie's style. Janis Joplin said, "She made the air and taught me how to be in it." Is that the quote? Like, basically,
something
she created
that, yeah,
the environment and taught me how to be inside of it. I mean, this woman's voice and her sensibility is titanic. One person that Maureen Mann mentions in her essay is Brittany Howard from Alabama Shakes. And if you're a fan of Alabama Shakes, I think you can really hear Bessie's influence in her music as well.
Talking to Ann Powers, critic and correspondent for NPR Music, co-founder of the series Turning the Tables, looking at eight women who shaped music as we know it here in the United States and around the world. I want to dig into another artist now, and this is another one that is up on the website. Maybelle Carter, you just mentioned her guitar playing. I want to hear some of that. This is on a track called Wildwood Flower by the Carter Family in 1927.
He taught me to love him and promised to love and to cherish me over all others above.
Let's talk about that guitar playing style. It's something that's very familiar to us now, but as I understand it, reading up on your project, this was a new style of guitar playing.
Yes, it's known as the Carter Scratch, but really Mother Maybelle Carter was the first woman to make the guitar a lead instrument in American music. Before her recordings, now maybe there were people doing it somewhere. We don't necessarily know. Probably that's always the case. There's someone who wasn't recorded who was doing it, but Maybelle, who learned to play the guitar, in part influenced by local black blues musicians, in part influenced by her own mother, who played the banjo and the auto harp, she used her thumb to play the bottom strings as a lead instrument. Like, she basically brought in those melodic lines. And before that, it was just strumming, you know, and now suddenly you hear the melody on the guitar and you can really trace all lead guitar from Maybelle Carter from that moment on.
Can you talk about how she became a powerful figure for country music in particular?
I think Maybelle is a powerful figure both behind the scenes musically, as I'm saying, as an instrumentalist who's emulated by virtually every guitarist, Chet Atkins, for example, Vince Gill today, hugely influenced by Maybelle Carter, also as a mentor and guiding figure for many country artists. You know, her career stretches on way into the late 20th century. And of course, she was the mother-in-law of Johnny Cash. And Johnny Cash really felt deeply connected to Maybelle, both personally and artistically. And you can find a clip of him when he had his television show. I think it was back in the 60s, and Maybelle's on there, and he's like, "You know, Mom, I can't imitate you, Mama. I can only try," you know.
Before we go on to some of the other artists, and a couple that we're going to get to are more household names, why you're kind of bringing them back into the public eye? Why did they fade? Why don't we look back at them and talk about them as these pivotal figures that they clearly were?
I'm so glad you asked that question. This is a key reason why we do the Turning the Tables project, and not only because we want to honor women artists, we have focused on women artists, but because we want music lovers to really stay connected to the whole history of American popular music. I think popular music as a business is very focused on novelty, as is any capitalist venture, to be honest. You know, they want the record labels, the music industry wants to sell the new product, the new thing. Also, since the 50s, it's often very focused on youth. And, you know, youth are young people always want to have their own thing, you know. That's why Billie Eilish is a huge star today, for example. And the media, too, I will say, as a lifelong music journalist, usually want to tell the news story. But if we don't understand the history of this music, we can't understand the present day. And I especially want to send that message to people listening who love country or Americana or blues or soul music, because there's such a rich archive and it's available in ways it never was before. You know, if you go to your favorite streaming service, you can find this stuff, but there's no guide to it. There's virtually no way in. Like, how would you know what to listen to of Maybelle Carter? Well, we at Turn the Tables are offering you a guide. We're offering playlists. We're offering ways into this really rich history that will help you understand what's happening today as well.
We're talking to NPR music critic and correspondent Ann Powers about a new season of NPR's Turning the Tables. This series celebrates eight of the women who helped create American popular music. We've heard two of them so far, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of any of the women on this list that we listed earlier? What do you think makes them special? Do you yourself go back to the early days of American music history? Is there another influential woman you'd add to the list if you're a musician yourself? Are there musicians here that inspire you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post and find a link on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk with NPR music critic Ann Powers about the new season of Turning the Tables. It features eight women who helped invent American popular music. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Who would you put on a list of women who paved the way for our music today? Are you a fan of any of the women we've talked about so far? What do you like about them? Do you have a question for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's check out another one on your list. Two of the great jazz singers of all time are on the list, Ella Fitzgerald and Billie Holiday. Let's listen to Ella Fitzgerald singing "Oh Lady, Be Good."
Won't somebody please have pity, 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 pity on me, just a lonesome babe, babe in the woods. Oh lady, oh lady, oh lady, be good to me. Lady,
now, these are names that are a little more familiar, I think, Anne, than some on your list. They each in their own way just totally reinvented singing, didn't they?
Absolutely. I mean, you heard a great example of Ella's scat singing, her vocalese, as it's called, there at the end of that little run, where she goes beyond language and basically uses her voice as an instrument. Billie Holiday, her way of singing behind the beat, her timbre, her way with a blue note, and of course, just her emotional intelligence. Actually, both of these singers had incredible emotional intelligence as well. I think it's really interesting that Billie Holiday, you know, she's so shrouded in myth, and, you know, kind of we think of her as a tragic figure, or maybe an iconic figure because of her song Strange Fruit, which in recent years was came up, you know, Kanye West sampled that song and his song Blood on the Leaves. And Ella is so interesting to me because as someone who was old enough to remember how she used to be in these Memorex commercials, shattering glass with her voice. She was everywhere at a certain point. And now, you know, I feel like she's almost a little bit forgotten or hidden in plain sight. So she's the kind of figure that we exactly want to bring back to the fore. We don't want her to be taken for granted or thought of as grandma's music. Like, I mean, that what you played is just totally as fresh as anything today.
Let's go to our callers now. We've got Clara on the line in Milwaukee. Clara, hi. Hi, Clara. What did you want to tell us about?
I wanted to share that my mother played for Bessie Smith on
her
last tour through Dallas, Texas. And my mother was attending the Conservatory of Music at the time in Dallas, Texas. She was living there and going to high school there. The pianist for Bessie Smith became ill on the tour. And someone directed whoever was in charge to the conservatory, And my mother, who played very, very well, was put forth by her professor to go and see if she'd be interested, and she ended up playing for Bessie Smith for that period that she was in Dallas, Texas.
No kidding. And Clara, were you inspired to go into music yourself?
Yes, I graduated in music, even though I did not settle on teaching music. I went into educational psychology, so I became a doctor in educational psychology, but I've used music all my life, and I still play for the United Methodist Church here in Milwaukee.
Clara, thank you so much for sharing your story. I'm going to ask our producers to put you on hold and then pick you up, Clara, and maybe get your contact info. I heard you typing there, I think. You might be interested in talking to her, Anne.
Yeah, definitely. I'm like, wow, let's get her info. That's a great story. I think someone at Wisconsin Public Radio should interview her and do a piece on her. I
think we might just do that. Yep, our producer's talking to her right now. But, you know, that the story makes me think, and the musical lineages that can happen, maybe, like in this story, in unexpected ways.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing about every single one of these artists is that, you know, take Mary Lou Williams, who is a jazz great, who might be less familiar to some of your listeners. I mean, Mary Lou Williams is someone who started in the swing era playing in Art Chick's band and, you know, was known as the lady who swings the band. There's actually a great documentary about her with that name. Then she, you know, the bebop era came along, and a lot of people would have just hung it up, you know, and said, I don't play this style of music. It's too fast or whatever. It's not for me. But Mary Lou became a mentor to everyone from like Charlie Parker to Thelonious Monk, like all these greats. They would hang out in her apartment and learn how to play from her. And then in the 60s, she became basically a composer, where she would write these religiously inspired, almost like concertos or set pieces. And she wrote a beautiful one called Black Christ of the Andes for a choir, all about St. Martin de Porres. And, you know, she goes from big band to bebop to avant-garde jazz in the course of one lifetime. This is one woman, and she is probably one of the most influential jazz composers and players of all time, but few people know about her outside of jazz circles.
Talking to Anne Powers from NPR Music, co-founder of the series Turning the Tables, their new series, One Piece a Week, profiling one of eight different women influential in the early days of American popular music of all different sorts. Back to your calls now. Mike is with us in Plymouth. Mike, hi.
Hi. This is not an early singer, but I just read Linda Ronstadt's Simple Dreams. And this woman has crossed over so many different musical genres. I was so impressed. She went from country rock to American standards to opera to Hispanic music. And I just think that she's one of those rare artists that I think should be on a list if she's not already on a list.
Mike, thanks.
Well, I'm glad, Mike, that you mentioned that, because we do have a list we published 2 years ago, 150 Greatest Albums Made by Women. And Linda Ronstadt is on that list, of course. I would say her album Heart Like a Wheel, it comes in the top at 53 on our list of 150 Greatest Albums by Women of the classic album era. And living in Nashville, I think Linda Ronstadt is maybe the most influential vocalist among young women that I know today here in Nashville.
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. Louise joins us now in Dodgeville. Louise, hi.
Hi. I have a question for your guest regarding Dolly Parton. I know she's kind of a somewhat household name and has gotten a lot of accolades, but I think considering when she was coming up, and especially in country music and kind of like a male-dominated industry, and she's got a little persona of kind of like, you know, like, shucks, little old me, I think it belies a tougher core within her. So if your guest could speak to her, Dolly Parton.
I mean, I'm a major Dolly fan. I've interviewed her, which was one of the thrills of my life. She is on our list of 150 greatest albums by women as well. And yeah, Dolly is someone who is so interesting because, like, what she does is so rooted in the Carter family in classic country, but it's also perennially modern. She is never out of style, and she is still so active. She just played Newport Folk Festival with the High Women, a group that Brandi Carlile and three other amazing women put together. And, you know, people love her, whether they're 7 years old or 70 years old. She's a legend.
All right, I got a note from my producer. It says, Rob, don't get through this without playing Sister Rosetta Tharpe. So here it is, Sister Rosetta Tharpe and Pure Religion.
That's a standing looking set. That's the hardest case I ever had. See, you're going to teach that pure religion. I let you, oh, I let you.
All right, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, another one on your list of eight. Anne, tell us a little bit about her.
Sister Rosetta Tharpe was a huge star of gospel music at mid-century. And, you know, for a long time, she was really somewhat forgotten. She was not necessarily remembered even among aficionados of gospel, who might look to someone like Mahalia Jackson for being more influential, or at least, you know, her career as being more worldwide or whatever. But Sister Rosetta was massive star. She played arenas. She basically, like Mother Maybelle, invented a particular style of guitar playing that that was super influential on people like Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones. And, you know, Little Richard loved her too. Some people say Sister Rosetta invented rock and roll just as much as Elvis Presley did.
And we didn't get to everybody, but people can follow this at Turning the Tables. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Keep listening.
That's Anne Powers, critic and correspondent at NPR Music. She joined us to talk about the new season of Turning the Tables. It highlights eight women who helped invent American popular music. We're listening to one more of those women, jazz piano player Mary Lou Williams. Anne was talking about her earlier.